Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 462. Science Faction, I call BS.
Excellent. You got me catching chickens last week. What are we doing this week, Coach?
We're going to do a couple more training sessions, and then hopefully by the end of next month, I think we want to start bringing, at least via digital realm, bringing some of our scientists back in. I miss them, Damien. I miss Dr. Troy. I miss Bill. I miss Connor. I miss Dr. Ava. I miss Nick, Ian, Dr. Robert, all those. I miss everybody. I miss all of our science guest hosts. It will be nice to at least see their faces on the screen and chat with them a little bit about recent published science articles. But for now, Damien, you have to keep playing against yourself.
This is a lot like my sexual experiences up until the age of 32. I'll be doing it mostly with myself, and that's why I'm so mediocre at sex now.
That was an unfortunate award that you got.
Well, when you give yourself the award, you really can give it to yourself or anything.
I just thought it was really inappropriate that it was done at one of those work events. You know, it was like, this guy got the most sales, this person has the most disappointing sexual performance.
It's weirder that my work event was at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
I had to take off my mask as Chuck E. Cheese in order to present myself the award.
It's even weirder because you don't have a job, so.
Hey, give us back that Chuck E. Cheese costume.
All right, let's get right on. I call BS.
I came for the band.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, I call BS the game where I read four science news articles, some of which are real, some of which are BS standing for bad science. As we just mentioned, Damien doesn't have anybody to play against today, but he will play against himself. Damien, are you ready to play?
I'm ready to play. I mean, to be fair, I'm the guy they're too afraid to face.
Well, I don't think that that's true for literally any of them, considering not one of them ever once lost to you.
Really?
Yes.
Well, then how come Dr. Troy won't open mouth kiss me?
You might have a point on that one. Figure out your shit, DT. All right, let's get on to question number one. A mysterious case of mass elephant death is sweeping Botswana as over 350 African elephants have died suddenly of unexplained causes. Some observed to have been acting strangely before death, including walking in circles and then collapsing so quickly to death that they landed right on their faces. I mean, is this science or bad science?
This is science, and I don't know. I've been watching a lot of these videos. You'll find that I think the main cause is that so many banana peels, possibly from migrating gorillas, or Donkey Kong's banana horde exploded or something. But have you ever been an elephant walking on
tons of banana peels?
On a banana? I take it a lot of psychedelics, and let me just say, I have.
Okay.
And as much as you, like, an elephant, so, nothing big bothers you, but mice and banana peels, you're basically a Mario Kart.
So you're saying 350 elephants died from basically slip gags from, like, Dick Van Dyke's original TV show?
You know, slapstick comedy might seem really fun and humorous to the French and stupids in America.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. It's deadly to elephants. It's like kind of like how, hey, you know how those plastic rings that hold six packs of soda are fun for us, but they end up killing turtles?
Yeah.
Well, the same for slapstick and elephants.
That's the old saying, like, elephants never forget old Jerry Lewis TV specials.
I can't tell you how many elephants have died after a piano with ivory keys, if there's not a sense of irony, landed on its head. After it wasn't even standing on the X, like when a hunter just threw the X underneath the elephant.
Now, David, while you are not right as to why, this is indeed true, and we're still not sure exactly why. This is kind of similar to the early days of our double dick Saiga die-off, where we didn't know what was going on and just, you know, that hundreds of thousands of them were dying off. In this case, it's only 350. They do have a pretty robust population there of like 120,000, so this isn't, you know, a substantial part of the population, but still very concerning.
Prion disease. Sound the alarm.
There's a few disease possibilities that are not good, so let's talk about them. Most of them have been found dead, but some of them have actually been seen in the process of dying, so that's how we know that they can do the, like, walking in circles and stuff, which indicates a possible neurological issue. Now, there's a few issues that could be going on. One, there's a big drought going on, so they could just be dying of thirst, but that doesn't seem quite right because the corpses don't seem consistent with that. It's not that they're being killed by hunters or poachers because there's no bullet wounds in them.
And let me just say, I, as somebody who didn't have sex until the age of 32, you cannot die of thirst. Impossible.
Right.
You just get into weirder stuff. That's what happens.
One of the possibilities is actually anthrax, which is present in the soil around where they live. And because of the drought, you know, maybe they are stirring up some of this dust and getting some of the anthrax. That has been known to go through elephant populations and kill elephants. The reason we think it's probably not that is that of many of the elephants that died, we did a bunch of tests of their skin samples and we found no anthrax. Another option is cyanide, because poachers will sometimes poison a watering hole with cyanide to kill a bunch of elephants so they can take their tusks. Problem with this is that usually is a bunch of deaths centered around the watering hole for obvious reasons. This is spread out among a large area, so that doesn't seem likely. And also, in cyanide cases, usually what happens is once the elephant dies, all the animals that then feed on it die around it, the vultures and whatnot. So that's pretty telltale, and that is not what we're seeing here either.
I heard Donald Trump Jr., when he went hunting, caused an uproar when he used cyanide on his rocket launcher that he killed an elephant with.
Well, one might be kind of close to home, which would be a virus. So there is a virus that sometimes kills elephants in somewhat similar ways, encephalomyocarditis. And the reason this might be more likely is because it's also been known to cause neurological symptoms, and some of their deaths indicate possible neurological symptoms. So it might be a viral outbreak, in which case we're going to have to find a way to keep that virus from spreading around among elephant populations so that hopefully it doesn't endanger the other 120 some odd thousand African elephants in Botswana.
It would be crazy if we got elephants to wear masks and they were cooler about it than people from Florida.
Yeah, but they would have to be like 7 foot long masks, right?
I'm not saying there wouldn't be logistical challenges. Listen, there's a lot of unused mask material in Florida. We could probably sew a few together.
I feel like an elephant mask is just like a oversized tube sock and a hose clamp.
You know, there are a lot of people looking to donate their Confederate flags because they're woke now. And what if you just had a bunch of racist elephants in Africa using Confederate flags? I'm sure there is a Christian charity that would do that here in America.
Absolutely. All right, article number two. Contrary to previous beliefs about the rigidity of local bird songs, we now have evidence that one particular bird song from the early 2000s in Western Canada became so popular that it took over all other bird songs in the region and then came across the continent in less than 20 years. Damien, this is science or bad science?
This is science and completely believable. I mean, have you heard what comes out of Canada? The Bare Naked Ladies, Bryan Adams? Of course some bird songs are going to tear up the charts way better.
Yeah, I was trying to think, what if there was an early 2000s human song that made its way? Like, what if, like, Hit Me Baby One More Time, and when it came out, suddenly started spreading and became the only music, or at least like one of the, like, let's say that people listen to other music, but this was like one of the top songs that people listen to every single day. Every time music was played, they were listening to Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time from 2001 until right now. And it's peaking as it spreads. It gets more and more popular. Now people listen to less other things and only Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time. And it seems like that would be like a crazy scenario, right?
You would
but
think
for birds,
so,
apparently.
But this is a fact I learned recently that I was blown away by. In Europe, apparently Mr. Brightside by The Killers has been on their top 20 countdown songs since, for like 20 years. Since we graduated high school, The Killers' Mr. Brightside has been a top 20 hit. Now, please feel free to Google it. Maybe I'm a little off by years, but it has been on the charts an insanely long amount of time.
Maybe it's like some hidden, like, underground white supremacist thing, and like there's just like that contingent there, especially in like Eastern Europe, and so they're just like floating it, and it seems somewhat legit, but every time that happens, somebody's doing a Zig Heil.
I thought it was because Europe is a huge Eric Roberts fan, and he was in the music video.
This one is science, and it happened to the white-throated sparrow between 2000 and now. So the standard song sung by that sparrow ended in three distinct notes, but starting in around 2000, a few birds in Western Canada began ending it with only two notes. Over the last 20 years, that new version of the song has spread across the continent all the way to the east coast of Canada. It is now dominant in Vermont and those areas, and it's taken over the North American sparrow song game. So in 2005, only one male out of 76 surveyed sang the double-ended song. In 2014, 22% of 101 surveyed sang the new song, and in 2017, nearly half of the 92 males recorded had adopted the variant. By now, that's probably even higher up. So this variant started on the west coast of Canada and can now be heard by sparrows in North eastern United States. It's almost like all the sparrows are little feathered Madonnas with the ability to pick up other pop culture accents. Like, they're just like, we were in England for a couple weeks, so it's okay if we have a British accent now.
Let me tell you about the Kabbalah. What if this is the other way around? What if this is like canceling cursive in schools? So like, yeah, you know, our forefathers used to know the three-note song, but then they stopped teaching cursive in schools, and now nobody knows how to sing the three-note song. We just got the two-note song, and Donald Trump is president.
I mean, I guess they could be making sparrows great again.
It's such a simpler message. Two notes instead of three? Three notes make my head hurt.
All right, article number three. A giant dicked geoglyph in the UK has been determined to not be prehistoric as originally thought, but likely dates from the Middle Ages at the oldest. Damien, this is science or bad science.
So you want me to believe that somebody in the Middle Ages used their artistic skills to create a dick? Science. You could name any age throughout time. Name an age, and I'll tell you an age where somebody used their artistic skills to create a dick. It's like the art crumb. There's an art crumb for every generation.
Most Egyptian obelisks are just pointy dicks.
Have you seen the Washington Monument, Bobby? Have you seen it? Have you seen the St. Louis Arch? That's just two dicks docking. And they're kind of flaccid and bending into each other.
So this one is true, and it refers to the Cern Abbas giant, which we've actually talked about before. It's located in England. It's a geoglyph on a hillside that's hundreds of feet tall, and it's a drawing of an ancient club-wielding man with a 35-foot-long erect penis.
What's the scale? No, I mean...
It's scalable.
Could this guy have done porn today?
Yes. Yes. It's in realistic but generous scale, is what we should say.
Oh. Take that, Greeks and their conservative penis statues.
Yeah. He's got a real hard Richard XIV, if you know what I mean. And it was thought to be a prehistoric drawing. Records of it date back to at least the 17th century. But researchers looking into it thought, this style, everything about it, this looks more medieval. Let's take a look. And so they looked and they found a series of snails. And these snail shells are from a very specific species. They're called vineyard snails. The reason that these are so special is they only came over from continental Europe. They didn't exist in Britain before. They came over in continental Europe in like the 13th, 14th century. And these are supposedly found in some context that allows them to know, it's probably below it, allows them to know that this predates it. So as long as the superposition, meaning the ordered layer of deposition of that site is intact, that would indicate that, by definition, this thing couldn't be any older than like the 13th or 14th century. So it was actually medieval. It makes a pretty big difference when you're trying to figure out whether or not this is the group of guys who made Stonehenge building this, or if it was just like a drunken guy who came back from a pub on a horse. Like, there's very different versions of, like, if that dude had a tweed coat and an eyeglass or something, like, I'm not going to count it as impressive.
What if this was a guy trying to bring back paganism? Like, you know, so if I'm driving back... Yeah, Jesus all here is pretty good, but who would want to follow this bloke here, you know what I'm saying? Which is why the Catholic Church in Britain at the time had to sculpt Jesus with increasingly bigger bulges under his robe.
If Jesus is good and all, but I mean, what's he packing, you know? This guy's, he has it all out there.
I don't want to pray to some peaceful virgin.
And lastly, article number four. An African gray parrot has bested nearly two dozen Harvard undergrads at a memory and attention game. Damien, is this science or bad science?
I have a perfect to this point, correct?
I mean, I don't know that I would call it that. I would call it slightly worse than completely wrong.
I've gotten every answer correct to this point, along with flawless reason behind my answers.
I can't agree or disagree to any of that.
Coward. You sit on the fence. The time is coming for you to pick a side.
Damien, I need a science for bad science from you, Damien.
This is bad science. It was not an African gray parrot. It was Air Bud, which Disney filmed and will later be releasing on their family line this year.
Yeah, I was actually at the lab when that was happening. I was doing like a tour, and it was funny because I was there and I overheard the kind of radical researcher who was using Air Bud. He was using him in the things. And then all of a sudden, the stuffy old dean came in, and he was like, what's going on here? What are you doing? And he just yelled in his face. He's like, there's no rule that says I can't use this dog for research.
Hold on, wait. Let's go into the IRB rulebook. I'm pretty sure something covers this.
Oh, there are numerous rules about not having a dog as a researcher. I mean,
but they created those rules after this experiment.
I actually would not have thought they would have to have a whole chapter on this, but it turns out, wow, it's actually called the Air Bud chapter.
Air Bud actually has an honorary degree from MIT after he beat them in the robo build off in Air Bud 7.
And Damien, I'm sorry to announce that this one is actually science. This is a special parrot. It's raised by a Harvard psychologist.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, his parents are pretty proud. The game is a version of the shell game. You know, like the shell game where you basically put a ball underneath a cup and there's like three cups lined up. You put it underneath one and you move the cup around and the person has to guess where the ball is at the end. Right. Well, there's obviously the cheating version of that game where you palm the ball and then the person loses every time. There's a real version of that game. And then there's also one where you have different colored balls. So let's say you have like five different balls. You have one blue, one red, one green, you know, one yellow, one orange. And you put all five of these under and then you move the cups around and the person has to tell you where each ball is. And in that test, the African gray parrot was actually better
than everybody but young Sheldon.
than all these undergrads in 12 of the 14 trials. Super awesome. It's also probably because, as the old saying goes, beating a bird in a game of intelligence is a Yale man's job.
Oh, Frasier. What a zinger you have.
Very interesting. Means that they are doing things differently than us. We know bird brains are literally structured differently, but clearly they have some kind of attentive capability that at their level is beyond ours. Because if we are looking at this thing and we have these kids who, by the way, are at the top of the top in terms of academically and whatnot, they can't do this task, then it is pretty impressive that this random African gray parrot can. It probably means that their brain works in such a way as to regulate attention differently and allow them to pay attention to multiple things like that at once. And maybe that has to do with flight, because when you're flying around, you have to pay attention to a lot of things so as not to crash.
So where did Air Bud score on this?
Truth time, the actor, quote unquote, who played Air Bud died long ago from dog cancer.
Robert Downey Jr. died of dog cancer? Yeah, Tropic Thunder wasn't the only controversial role Robert Downey Jr. had.
By the way, I would like it if dog cancer was just the universal term for meeting like a much bigger, angrier dog. How did he die? Dog cancer. It was brutal. I was covered in blood. It was at the dog park.
So Michael Vick was like the Dr. Kevorkian of dogs. Like he put dogs who had dog cancer out of their misery.
No, he would be dog cancer himself.
Oh, he was an active spreader of dog cancer.
Yes, yeah. No, he was just dog cancer. You would refer, hey, look, here comes dog cancer. He's got a 4-2-40.
I think it's weird that the NFL Hall of Fame included that in his induction. Yeah. Michael Dog Cancer Vick, quarterback, Atlanta Falcons.
Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 462, where you learned all about a mysterious mass elephant die-off in Botswana. How one catchy little bird song from Western Canada made its way across the entire continent in only 20 years. How a giant dicked geoglyph in the UK has been determined not to be prehistoric because of some snails. And how an African gray parrot has beat nearly 24 Harvard undergrads at a memory and attention game. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 463.
And in our top story tonight, Jemsen, the circus peanut poisoning company, had a cargo plane tragically crash over Botswana, spilling hundreds of thousands of poisoned circus peanuts. The PR agent for Jemsen was quoted to say this: I also don't know why this company exists.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.